Well, there was probably the longest introduction for Pastor Matt Mitchell on Friday night. Now, we didn't repeat that on Saturday. I'm cutting it even shorter today because most of you heard that introduction. So one of the things that you may not realize is that in these last 3 years, this is the third year in a row of Deep and Wide, and that we're focusing on people that are gifted within our district. So we're a district, Allegheny District, of the Evangelical Free Church of America. Matt is one of those gifted people just ministering with his church up in the middle of Pennsylvania, in Lance, Pennsylvania, so Lance Evangelical Free Church. And it's our pleasure to welcome Matt one more time. And as you see in your bulletin, sweet words, what might happen if we used our words for good. Matt.
Thank you, Jeff. I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 24 this morning. And it has been an absolute delight to be with you this weekend. Thank you for having me. I already loved your pastor and his wife, and now I can say that I love your church family as well. And it is a delight to be part of the awesome Allegheny District with you and part of a family of churches in the EFCA. This weekend, we've been talking about overflow. And last night, I even overflowed a bottle of water right here on the stage, because Luke 6:45 says it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. Our words are not tiny little inconsequential things that come from our hearts. Our words, which are not tiny little inconsequential things, come from our hearts. And out of our hearts, they pour into our lives and the lives of the people around us and have great power and influence over them. On Friday night, we learned that the fiery tongue is small but mighty and so often can derail the train of our lives. Big words. On Saturday night, last night, after a delicious dinner, I don't know if I mentioned how delicious the dinner was last night. After a delicious dinner, we learned about bad words, specifically about sinful gossip, which is bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. But this morning, I want to flip it all around and talk about good words. It's the B-side of the album this morning. I want to talk about the positive side this morning. I want to talk about what might happen if we used our words for God and for good, if we used our words the way they were intended to be. Because we often miss that. We only think about the bad side, about the danger and the destructive potential of the fearsome tongue. One of you told me last night that you were going to wear steel-toed boots this morning to church so I wouldn't step on your toes anymore. But the Bible also paints a beautiful picture of the blessings that the tongue can bring. Here's our key verse for this morning, Proverbs 16:24. Have you found it? Here's what it says. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Would you pray with me? Lord, I've heard pleasant words this morning, good words, as we've sung, just now as we've prayed for our brothers and sisters who are hurting for the gospel all over the world. It's been a good weekend for pleasant words, and I pray you would give me even more words. Words that build up, that edify, that strengthen this body here, this church family, that they would go deep and then they would go wide. And I pray this in the name of Jesus, the Word. Amen. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Now, some of you have been a little worried about what I might do to your stage today. Friday night, it was fire. Last night it was water. Is today earth? I mentioned this to Jeff, and he said, well, there's been plenty of wind up there. So don't worry, nothing to the stage today, but maybe something for the tongue. This is a honeycomb. There's a family in our church, the Houstons, Roper and Lita, that have an apiary, schoolhouse apiary. You're welcome to stick your finger in there if you want. We've just all had communion together, so, and kids, make sure it's okay with mom and dad if you're going to stick your finger in. Just pass it around this morning. And Roper and Lita said, sure, you can take that with you. Don't bring it back, they said. There's no bees in there, don't worry. But there is lots of honey. It is sweet. This is the same kind of honeycomb they had back in Solomon's day when he was writing the Proverbs, like this one. Because bees are bees around the world. You know, they've actually found honey crystallized in the pyramids. That's perfectly good to eat today. Didn't go bad. It's tasty. Isn't it great to come upon naturally occurring sweetness? Naturally occurring sweetness. I think there was some honey in that baklava last night. This proverb says that there are words, pleasant words, that are sweet, like honey right from the honeycomb. And they have a wonderful effect. They are not just pleasant, he says, but sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I think that's a reference to the body here. They are good for the spirit, even good for the body. There are spiritual benefits to pleasant words and even physical benefits to pleasant words. Our words have great power, not just for evil, but for good. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. That's what I want to talk about this morning, sweet words. What are some of those kinds of sweet words? I'm not talking about sweet talk here, not buttering somebody up, but honey. When I told my family about this message I was working on, I said, our mouths are not all bad. We can do good things with our mouths too. And my middle son, Peter, said, yeah, we can praise God. That's right. We've done that this morning. And if we are creative, there are hundreds and thousands of ways to use our mouths for righteousness. If we use our sanctified imaginations, there are plenty of pleasant words at our disposal. So what I did was I just ransacked the book of Proverbs and picked out six kinds. Six kinds of sweet words for you this morning. These are not all of the kinds of pleasant words that we can use, just six that jumped out to me as I was reading through my copy of Proverbs. They all have something to do with human relationships. And they all give us an idea of the vast arsenal of sweet words that are available for Christians to use. Let's do a quick survey of all six kinds. Number one, a kind word. A kind word. If you want to, I'm going to move fast, but if you want to go with me, turn to Proverbs 12, verse 25, which says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. The King James says, heaviness in the heart, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. We all know this, don't we? Who here has been anxious this week? Come on, admit it. Yeah. I think this national election has gotten to me in many ways. I hear people talking about election stress. And I was calling my dad last week all stressed out. And you know what I was doing? I was stooping. It maketh a man to stoop. And every day I call my dad, and he had an encouraging word for me. A kind word. And it cheered me up. An anxious heart weighs a man down. It's heavy. But a kind word is honey. It cheers him up. The question is, do we have kind words for the people around us? The people around us have cares. Look up and down your pew right now. Just look at the people nearby. Those people have cares. There's a broken heart in every pew. They are weighed down by anxieties. Life is heavy. Christians, we should have kind words that lift people up. Who did you lift up this week with your words? We've probably all spoken an unkind word, burnt somebody. But to whom have we said something kind to? Who did you cheer up? Who could you give a kind and honeyed word today? Pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Number two, an honest answer. Proverbs 24:26. Proverbs 24:26 says, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Now talk about pleasant. Woohoo! Solomon says that it's as pleasurable as a kiss to get an honest answer. My wife started something new in 2013. Every time I come home for a meal, she meets me at the door with a kiss on the lips. I love it. And it's really good for my kids to see too. Not that they don't go, ew. But they see a mom and a dad who love one another. This proverb says that honesty is like that. We all know what dishonesty is like. Nobody likes being lied to. When I say sweet words, again, I don't mean sickeningly sweet words, not flattery. That's just another form of lying. Nothing like that. Nobody likes that, really. And we don't like it when people hide from us or give us an evasive answer, kind of a political answer with a spin on it. Maybe not what you wanted to hear, but you know it's the truth. That's what we like, honest. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear, as long as it's the truth. Let's be like that as much as we can. Let's give people honest answers, straight up, clear, not equivocating, not hiding, not lying, not flattering, truthful. An honest answer, it's like a kiss on the lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Here's number three, earnest counsel. Turn to Proverbs, if you want, 27:9. Proverbs 27:9, which says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel." Now, I don't know how you feel about perfume or incense. Not everybody has the same tastes and smells as everyone else. But Solomon here assumes that perfume and incense are good things, pleasant things. You understand that this is, Solomon lived before there was deodorant. Okay? So, yeah. Ah, lights are going on, right? Yeah, so perfume and incense mask other smells, okay? It's a really good thing. Now, so if you don't like perfume and incense, put in your best kind of smells, bacon frying, right? We had some bacon over at Kohl's this morning. Thank you, Vivian. Woo! For some of you, it's candles. You've got candles in strategic places all over your house. For some of you, it's apple pie in the oven. For some of you, it's that greasy garage smell or the smell of the barn that really makes you feel good. Or maybe it's gun oil, right, Abe? Amen. Amen, yep. I love the smell of Cook Forest, Pennsylvania after a rain. That's pleasant. Solomon says, "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart." And the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Earnest counsel. That smells good. That's telling somebody what to do, right? Let me tell you what you need to do. And really meaning it. Really telling somebody what they ought to do. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. You know, you can tell if someone is truly a friend if they give earnest counsel. Because if they don't care, they won't share it. Now, there are times to give that counsel and times not to give that counsel. A wise person will know the difference between those times. Often the times we should offer earnest counsel are those times when it has been asked for. But when it is asked for, a true friend offers earnest counsel. They aren't ambivalent about your life and your choices. They want what's best for you, and they offer advice to help you get there. At our church, I can think of a number of people who have looked out for my best interest and given me earnest counsel. And those words are sweet words for me that I cherish. Now, maybe I didn't at the time. But if I'm wise, I recognize that earnest counsel is a pleasant word like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Sometimes that earnest counsel has to be offered sharply. It has to be a rebuke, an earnest counsel to stop doing something that's going to bring harm. That's number four, a life-giving rebuke. Proverbs 15:31. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. A life-giving rebuke. That is not a phrase you hear every day. We tend to think of rebukes as being bad things, maybe something that is a necessary evil. But if we are genuinely loving others, we will rebuke them in love and rebuke them to help them to experience a better life. That's what a life-giving rebuke is. It's a rebuke that is offered in love to help someone experience a better life. Is that hard to do? It is hard to speak that, and it is hard to take. But Solomon says, he who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. That's a major theme in the Proverbs. Proverbs 17:10 says, a rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool. I know which one of those I'd rather have. Proverbs 25:12 says, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. It's valuable to humbly receive a life-giving rebuke. I remember a time not that long ago when my wife pulled me aside and rebuked me. She told me that I had been unnecessarily harsh with our children when disciplining them. They had begun to shy away from me if they thought that they might need some correction. I didn't like hearing that from Heather, but I took it right to heart. I needed to hear that. It was valuable to me, and as I changed my approach, it was life-giving to me. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. I don't know about you, but I want to be at home among the wise. That's where I want to live. I want to live in Wisdomville, and I want to help others to live there too. One kind of genuinely sweet honeycomb word is a life-giving rebuke, but so often I chicken out. Just this last month, I had opportunities to deliver life-giving rebukes that I passed up. I even realized that I was doing it, to my shame. I failed in love in those situations by not speaking up. How about you? When was the last time you offered a life-giving rebuke or received one well? He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. But what if they don't receive it well? What if they're all angry and up in your face? Here's number 5, a gentle answer. A gentle answer is a honeycomb. Look at verse 1 of chapter 15, just up the page. Chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, we've all seen this principle at work, haven't we? Somebody's all up in your face and angry, and you keep it together. You respond calmly, carefully, self-composed. Makes a huge difference. Instead of answering tit for tat, anger for anger, a gentle word, kind word, a merciful word, a soft-spoken word makes a huge difference. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I know that's not easy to do. If somebody's coming at me with a harsh word, I want to bring a harsh word right back, or I want to get out of there. But a gentle answer diffuses the situation. Now that takes self-control. Where are you going to get that? Well, self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But it's possible out of the overflow of the heart. And people love to be around people who are self-controlled. Did you ever notice that? People love to be around people who can control themselves. Proverbs 22:24 says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. The flip side, though, is that people love to make friends with those who can turn aside someone's anger with a gentle word. You can do that. You can hold in that angry word. Don't say it. Don't post it on Facebook. Don't press send on the text message. Don't let it out. Use a gentle word instead. Social media is so full of outrage right now and shaming others. Outrage and shame. One of my commitments on social media is no outrage, no shame. There's plenty of that out there. I've got honey words. Sharp rebuke? Yes, there's a time for that. But no outrage and shame. It is unnecessary. Use a gentle word instead. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Number 6. Again, these are not all of the six. These are not the only 6 kinds of pleasant words in the Proverbs. Just 6 I found one time I went looking. There are tons more. Number 6, fitting praise. Last chapter of Proverbs, chapter 31. Verse 30. Yes, this is the chapter about the excellent wife, what to look for in a potential bride, and what to do with her once you got her. At the end of this alphabet-led list of godly virtues she possesses, it says this, verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she's earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The principle I'm pointing to here is that it is right and good to praise someone who's earned it. You see, her children praise her? Are they doing something wrong? Was that bad that they... Are we supposed to praise people? Her husband praises her. He brings up her name for praise kind of at the city hall. He puts it in lights out in front of the house. She's earned it, he says. Verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. In other words, it's right to praise her. It's deserved. It's fitting. So it is right for us to praise people, to commend them for the good things they do. When was the last time you said to someone, good job? I like that. Well done. I'm proud of you. Pastor Jeff did that this morning when he thanked all the people that made this conference possible this weekend. Recently, I was very impressed with my wife's teaching of our children. I was working down in the basement, and I could hear her hard at work impressing not just spelling and math to the kids, but also shepherding their hearts as they did it. And I came up to her more than once. Actually, what I did was I ran to the stairs and I opened the door and I said, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. You can tell what it's like living with me. Good job, Heather Joy. Thank you for doing that. And the kids are like, yes, yes, okay. They're probably going to kiss now. Okay. Can it be embarrassing to talk like that? Sure. To go around praising people. But it's right. It's the right thing to do. A couple years ago, I read a book called Practicing Affirmation, God-Centered Praise of Those Who Are Not God by Sam Crabtree. Excellent book. There's a chapter in there called 100 Affirmation Ideas for Those Who Feel Stuck. 100 ideas of how to praise other people. Again, not to flatter them. That's unfitting praise. But fitting praise. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let's learn to talk like that. Those are pleasant words, sweet words, honeycomb words. Before I quit, I want to give you 4 sets of actual words that we don't use enough. Kind of like power tools. Guys, you like to use power tools? I'm going to give you some power words this morning that they don't get used often enough, but they are really strong words. Okay? Are you ready? They're underused words and underappreciated words. Here they are. I'm sorry. That's a powerful set of words there. But they're not always easy to say, especially for us guys, right? Guys, we can't be like the Fonz. Do you remember the Fonz, Fonzie from Happy Days? He could snap and the girls would come running. He hit the jukebox and it would start playing the song he wanted. He'd put the comb up to his hair and like me, he didn't have to do anything. You know, with that comb, because everything was perfect. And he would just go, hey, right? Well, there's one thing the Fonz couldn't do. He couldn't apologize, right? Every time he would do something wrong, he'd hurt one of his friends, Richie or Potsy or Ralph Malf or somebody. He knew he should apologize, but this is what happened. He would go up to the person and say, what I'm trying to say is the words just wouldn't come out. Are we like that? Sometimes we are. It's hard to bring ourselves to apologize, to say, I'm sorry. In our personal relationships, apologizing is one of the hardest things to do, but it's vital for us to learn. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And that's true in our vertical relationship with God. It's also true in our horizontal relationships with each other. I'm sorry. Learn to say that at the right time and you have learned some golden words, power words. Now, I'm not saying to apologize for things you've not done. Please don't lie. But in almost every relationship, there is something we can say, I'm sorry for. And it does amazing things to a relationship. I'm sorry. Friday night, I ask you to think about, whom have I burnt recently? Who have I recently burnt? Have you gone to them? Have you said these power words? I'm sorry. It's hard to say because it involves humbling ourselves, but that's what we need, and God honors it. Here's number two. I forgive you. It's the other side of that interaction, isn't it? Pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. When you say, I forgive you at the right time, it's positively golden. There's nothing more toxic to relationships than bitterness and forgiveness. Let me say that again because I mean it. There is nothing more toxic to relationships than bitterness and unforgiveness. We will all sin against one another in all of our relationships. Marriage, for example, is a union of two sinners. You got sinner number one, and you got sinner number two, and now you got sinners living together. Okay? You know what's going to happen when two sinners marry one another? Sin. More of it. Yeah. So there's got to be this, I'm sorry. And on the other side, there needs to be that, I forgive you. If there's no, I forgive you, then the fat lady may as well sing. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How are you forgiven? We teach our kids to say, I forgive you. We all need it. Here's number three. Thank you. Thank you. Those two little words are so powerful. And yet so unused by so many people, including Christians. When someone does something for you, no matter how small, it's appropriate to say, thank you. When we don't, it's often a function of our pride again. We feel like we deserve it, whatever it is. Do you thank your server when you go out to eat? Do you thank somebody who opens a door for you? Do you thank somebody who passes the salt? When you say thank you for just the little things, it's powerful. This coming weekend is a good weekend to thank somebody who has served in our military. They have defended us and defended our freedoms, and for that we should render our thanks. Thank you, veterans, for your service for our nation. Parents, thank your kids when they do something for you. And we should all be thanking God. It's November, right? Because all good gifts come from Him. The Bible says that a lack of thanksgiving is at the root of all kinds of sin. Romans 1, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. You want to get futile and darkened? Stop saying thank you. We refuse to say thank you to God, and so much disaster has become the consequences. Who do you need to say these power words to today? Say thank you at the right time. It'll be honeycomb. It'll be so sweet. Can you guess the last one? This is the very last slide. What do you think it's going to say? Yeah. Those are powerful words spoken at the right time to the right person in the right way. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. I love you. Now, don't say it at the wrong time to the wrong person, right? Don't say it romantically until it's the right person and you are in a position to do the right thing about it. Song of Songs says, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Don't say it at the wrong time or to the wrong person, but at the right time to the right person, it's a word aptly spoken. Husbands, tell your wives, I love you. Don't pull that stunt of the guy who said, I told you I loved you when I married you, and if it changes, I'll let you know. No, tell her today. Tell her often. Tell her well. Don't just say it to show it. What I'm going to say is, don't just say it, show it. But say it too. Some of you are like, well, they know I love them because I... Well, say it. Parents, say it to your kids. I love you. Don't just say love ya, okay? I'm not saying you can't say love ya. Throw that one in too. But say, I love you. Those are powerful words. You can't say them too much. They don't wear out. Friends say it in appropriate ways and times to other friends. I was talking to a pastor friend, not Pastor Jeff, and I ended our conversation recently with, I love you. Goodbye. And it wasn't weird. Or at least it shouldn't be. Siblings say it to siblings. I love you. Or we could say it in different ways. I trust you. I respect you. I appreciate you. Those are all forms of saying this sort of thing. The point is to open our mouths and speak good words. The world has enough bad words. Christians should have mouths filled with sweet ones. The right word spoken at the right time, in the right way, in the right moment is astonishingly powerful, beautiful, valuable, and precious. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Let's pray together. Lord, for us to do that, you've got to change us. Because these sweet words will come out of the overflow of something sweet going on inside of us. Our relationship with you. Your work, the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, changing us more and more into the image of Christ. So that sweet water comes out of our bottle. Would you do that work in us, Lord, that deep heart work? Because we can try to be sweet, but unless you're doing it in us, it won't last. It won't be real. Do your work in us, Lord. Work in us that which is pleasing in your sight. Faith, hope, love. So that we can then give honey to those around us. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.